Good morning. I want to welcome each of you this morning. Glad to have you in church. Sorry we cannot be there, but we're looking forward to when we can. Last Sunday, we looked at the rapture of the church, and today we want to go further into that subject and think about the subject, looking for His coming. Probably all of us enjoy the Christmas season and look forward to it, and especially children. Children many times cannot wait for the Christmas season. But for the adults, when we think of Christmas, we think of decorations, making cookies and candy, and family gatherings and special meals and shopping and gifts and special services at church. In a lot of churches, there's caroling at this time, and it involves lots of traveling a lot of times, and Christmas music and Christmas messages, and probably much more. Well, the Old Testament believers did not celebrate Christmas, because Christ had not come yet, and that's the true meaning of Christmas, the coming of Christ. That's why we celebrate Christmas. But for the Old Testament believers, Christ had not come yet, but they were looking for His coming, and they were diligently looking. This morning, we want to think upon how they were looking for His coming and compare it to how we should be looking for His second coming. Our first point will be Christ's first coming. Did you know that there are 85 overall promise verses for every day of the year? However, only some of them involve the coming of Christ to earth. Notice the first promise given in the Bible, which was said by God to the serpent after he had tempted Eve to eat of that fruit. And God spoke to the serpent. And we see that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now notice it speaks of her seed, the seed of the woman. The Redeemer would be born of a woman. And so the seed of the woman refers to the birth of the Redeemer. And then God gave a promise to Abraham, and we see that in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And in Genesis 12:3 we read, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now this woman that would bear the Redeemer would be a descendant of Abraham and bring blessing to the entire world. So the Redeemer that would come through the descendant of Abraham would bring blessing to the entire world. Another promise we see in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, these are just a few of the promises that were given of the coming of Christ, and there are many others. And many Old Testament believers knew and believed these promises, and were waiting and looking forward to His coming. We read in 1 Peter First Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed. Now this refers not to Christ's birth, but to the salvation which Christ would provide as a result of being born and then growing up and suffering and dying on the cross. However, his coming is inferred here, for he had to be born as a baby to be able to grow up and then go to the cross and suffer and die on the cross to provide that salvation. Peter said they earnestly and diligently search concerning when all of these things which they and others prophesied of would take place. You see, many believers were waiting for and looking for the coming of Christ. And we have some examples in the New Testament of this. We look back at Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And behold, the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And then going on in verses 27 to 30, we read, and he came by the Spirit, or was led by the Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. And then there was another one. We go down a little bit further in Luke 2 to verse 36 and 38. And this Old Testament believer was Anna. And we read in beginning with verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and then evidently her husband had died, and she was a widow for about 84 years. She departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. And she came in that instant to where they were, and gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now we who have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and are the recipients of that salvation that Christ provided when he came the first time, we should be waiting for and looking for Christ to return the second time. We should have the same earnest desire that these Old Testament believers had for his first coming. We should have that same desire as we wait for his second coming. Now let's look at the second point, Christ's second coming. We have numerous promises of his second coming, which is divided into two events. There's the rapture, which we are looking for, and then his second coming to earth, which will take place 7 years later. We are looking, of course, for the rapture. And the first promise given was by Jesus himself. And we used this verse last week in John 14, 1-3, where Jesus was talking to his disciples. And he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And since I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now notice he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." Now, even though he did not spell it out concerning this is the rapture and spell out the details, yet that's what he was referring to. And so Christ will come in the clouds to receive every believer who has already died or is yet alive and receive them unto himself. Now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul spelled it out in more detail. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now again, we should be looking for and waiting for that event to take place with the same desire and fervor and intensity that the Old Testament believers had for his first coming. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, we read, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." If we are really earnestly looking for his return, how then should we live? How will that be seen in our lives? Well, notice in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, if we're really looking for his coming, we will live disciplined, upright, devout lives for him. Turning back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, we read, 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And then notice verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then turn back to the book of James. The book of James, chapter 5, verse 8. James chapter 5, verse 8. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We are to fervently live for God, regardless of what circumstances we may have to endure. But we need to be patient, for the coming of Christ is near. Notice in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." You see, until Christ comes, we are to abide or live in close fellowship with him, so that when we meet him in the air, we are not ashamed of how we have been living. And then in closing, remember what the Apostle Paul said as he neared the end of his life. And we'll turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, where Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." You see, there is a crown of righteousness rewarded to all those who have loved and yearned for and welcome his coming and his return, and for all those who have their love fixed upon it, or love Christ and earnestly look for his return more than anything else in the world. Someone wrote, "A little while, and he shall come. The hour draws on apace, that the blessed hour, the glorious morn, when we shall see his face. How light our trials then shall seem, how short our pilgrim way, our life on earth, a fitful dream, dispelled by dawning day." And probably some of you remember or have read articles by the man, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan. Well, he wrote the following words, "To me, the second coming is the perpetual light on the path which makes the present bearable. I never lay my head on my pillow at night without thinking that maybe before morning breaks, the final morning will have dawned. I never begin my work without thinking that perhaps he may interrupt my work and begin his own and come. This is now his word to all believing souls till he comes." You see, we are not looking for death. We are looking for him. We listen quite often to messages by Dr. David Jeremiah on TV. And a number of times I've heard him say, I'm not looking for the undertaker, but for the upper taker. You see, David Jeremiah believes that the return of Christ is very near, and he believes that before he dies, he's going to see the rapture take place. So he said again, I'm not looking for the undertaker, but for the upper taker. I trust that each of us have that same earnest desire that we will see Jesus Christ and we will be changed and meet him in the air and be with the Lord forever. I trust and pray that that's the earnest desire of each of us. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time we've had together this morning. And we thank you for the wonderful promise that Jesus is coming again. And according to the things we see taking place, we believe that it could be very, very soon. And Lord, I pray that we will earnestly look for and desire his soon return, and that we would live godly, Christ-like lives in the light of that. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.